listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Get ready to launch yourself to the latest rock news. You're listening to Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShard Binkley. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at HTimeForLife40, all caps. And I am a staff writer for The Dream Shake, so make sure you check out my articles there. Be sure to follow official Apollo Media account at Apollo HOU, as well as hit the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. And of course, I am joined today by person that we've done a few podcasts together over the last couple of years. I'm joined by my main man, Mr. Anthony Duckett. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. It was kind of an understatement to say we've done a few over the last couple of years.
just a few. Yeah, 5, 10, 100 podcasts, somewhere in that range.
Here or there.
So, just a few. So before we kick it off, why don't you let them know where they can find your content at?
You can find me on Twitter at @A_Duckett. Also, I'm a pod co-host for Apollo, as we've established for some time now as well. I'm happy to be doing another pod with you, man. Talk about our Rockets.
Talk about our favorite basketball team. The now, if I'm not mistaken, worst record in the league, Houston Rockets. If not, they're pretty close. I think they're either tied with Detroit and Orlando, or actually took the lead, I guess, if that's one way you want to put it. And having the worst record in the league after last night's another loss last night. After they now have lost, I'm honestly, I can't even remember what they're up to now. I think it's 11 in a row. It might be 10 or 11. As you can see, when it comes to individual games, I'm not really paying too much attention to individual games. When it comes to the Rockets these days, they fell to 15-48. They lost 116-101 to the, let me get this right, Jokic-less, Michael Porter Jr.-less, Jamal Murray-less, Denver Nuggets. they lost to the Nuggets last night as they fell to 15-48. A certain former Rocket, DeMarcus Cousins, went off against them in 24 minutes. He had 31 points and 9 rebounds in 24 minutes last night. As the Rockets failed.
Sacramento boogie.
Amazing. A person that can't jump, can't move, was able to put up 31 points. I actually saw a quote, not really a quote, but a tweet that somebody put out. I can't remember who it was. They said that if you're playing fantasy basketball and you have a center that can post up a chair, you should play that center against the Rockets, because every single center that goes against the Rockets absolutely lights them up. It was Zubac the other night. I remember Jackson Hayes had a huge game against the Rockets. Wendell Carter. I mean, you just go down a list of just not mediocre, but not exactly centers that you would think of that would, you know, absolutely demolish a team. And they do that every time they play the Rockets. Evan Mobley had his career high against the Rockets. I mean, you can kind of just go down a list of players that if they're a center and they play the Rockets, and yes, Christian Wood, they're pretty much going to have a great game. But another one last night is DeMarcus Cousins had, I got to imagine that's, I don't think he had a 30-point game with the Rockets. So this is probably his high point total since his, what, maybe he may have had a couple of games with the Warriors where he had a really good, but I doubt he had 30 points.
Probably Pelicans days.
It's Pelicans, probably, since before his last major injury when he was playing with Anthony Davis. So that tells you all you need to know about how bad the Rockets defense is this year. It's probably historically bad at this point. But anyway, I'm not going to go too much into that game, but I will talk about I do want to kind of get your opinion on Jalen Green having a career high in assists. I mean, it seems like every game he's getting better and better. He's more assertive. Christian Wood has a statement where he's demanding the ball now. So what's been your opinion of Jalen Green, his assist tie last night, and just since the All-Star break, actually the last 15 games, that he's been a lot more assertive in pretty much all of these games?
Yeah, what I like is that, like Christian said, he has been a lot more aggressive, demanding of the ball. I remember you and I were talking about this before we started recording, but I remember during the Orlando game down a stretch where he just took over, and you could tell it was Jalen Green time, and in his mind, he was like, you know, Rockets were down in that game, and he's like, I'm gonna make sure that we come back. And they did come back. They lost the game, but I was really impressed at how he just took over that game. He has definitely been picking his spots. I like the mid-range that he has been flashing in the last few games. I think that's going to really propel him as a scorer, being able to score on all, you know, all three levels. The playmaking isn't really a surprise. I actually thought that coming out of the G League that he had that ability in him. The reality is, man, he so much gravity when he's hitting his shots and getting buckets. The assist is really more so about him creating more of his own offense, to be honest, which is kind of what I thought, you know, would be the key to him getting 6-7 assists. No, he's not going to average 7 assists, but the key to him being able to play make is going to be him creating gravity, creating his own offense. So that doesn't really surprise me, but I am impressed with the efficiency that we've seen from him during this stretch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Actually, if you look at his last 15 games, he's averaging 17 points on 45% shooting from the field. And keep in mind, a lot of these are contested shots. And he's shooting 35.6% from three, which for a guy that shoots, like I said, a lot of contested shots, a lot of contested threes. I mean, at one point in the season, he was like at 29% from three, maybe even worse than that. So to see him up around the 35% range at almost 7 attempts a game, I mean, that's a huge improvement for him in these last 15 games. Like I said, he's been great, even though the Rockets are, man, Rockets are 1-14 in the last 15. But the fact that he, you know, is more assertive, is looking to get other people involved as well, because teams are starting to notice that he's being more assertive. They're starting to actually try to trap him on a lot of these pick and rolls, and he's finding the right man. I think that's a big deal in his development. Another thing I kind of want to bring up as far as his playmaking, because that was one of the latest Rockets controversies. when, if I'm not mistaken, was it Solomon Ali made a point?
Solomon Ali, yeah.
Yeah, he made a point to say that he doesn't think that Jalen Green's ever going to be a primary facilitator, that he's going to be more of a strictly a shooting guard. He doesn't see him as a guy that can, you know, actually go out there and facilitate an offense. And that kind of set off a firestorm on Rockets Twitter, which these days it really doesn't take much to set up a firestorm within Rockets Twitter. But I kind of want to ask you your opinion on that. You kind of did just mention that, you know, he may not average 7 assists, but do you see him at points of the game where he can be a primary facilitator, where he's actually the one running the offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we probably will see more of in stretches. As far as him running the offense, like I said, I feel like what we've seen recently is more so him being able to create for others based on him creating his own offense. So there's no reason to think that he wouldn't be able to, you know, to run some pick and roll, high low pick and roll, 1-4. I think that's something that we could see more of. I hope we see a lot more of that down the stretch here in these last 20 games, because that's really all you're, you know, evaluating for. The Rockets obviously are, well, they've been well out of the playoff race for months now. So, I mean, and I know that Silas said, and we should get into this. I know Silas said he doesn't really like to experiment with things, you know. But I'm hoping that's something that we do see more of down the stretch.
And actually, we're going to actually talk more about that particular comment in a second segment, because I actually do want to talk about what they should be looking for in these last 20 games, because I think that's a big part of what we're going to be hoping for and looking at in the rest of the season, is kind of the development of the players and who actually should be the main focus of the Rockets going into these last 20 games. But another guy I want to ask you about that I think that he actually had a better game yesterday was Alperen Şengün. He had a double-double last game. He was 11 points, 10 assists. I mean, 10 rebounds. But what has been your kind of overall evaluation of Şengün, especially lately, as far as how the Rockets are using him? Looks like they try to use him a little bit more as far as playing with Christian Wood. But do you think that he has – it doesn't seem like he is as involved. I guess it doesn't seem like he's making as many plays as he did earlier in the year. It's kind of seemed like he's more just part of the team now, not really standing out as much as he had been, you know, the first part of the season. Or is it just maybe I'm just missing it and he's still kind of the same Amperin Şengün, but it doesn't seem like he's been the same player, especially since he coming back from the injury.
Well, he's going to have to get more playing time, yeah. which you know, not to beat that drum. I know it's been all over Rockets Twitter all season.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to get more playing time. But, I mean, last night, 11 points, 10 assists. I like the fact that he has been at least shooting more threes. I know they haven't been falling for him. He's like 0 for 7 the last
few games. Yeah, he's been pretty bad last games from three.
But you know, I'm happy that he is at least taking those because I think he's going to have to get more comfortable. We're not only taking them, but he's going to obviously have to start making some too.
Yeah.
Everybody was marveling at his, you know, the Jokic comparisons and all that. One assist in the last four games. And he struggled big time against Utah. Big time against Utah.
Yeah.
In fact, all his points came from the line, which is impressive because he doesn't usually get those calls. But again, in that game, he fouled out. We're still seeing the foul troubles. Although he did pretty good against Denver, he only had two fouls. But I mean, to me, it's been much of the same in my opinion. Like I said, the playmaking has dropped off a little bit. The 3-point shots have increased, which I like. Fouling is continuing, but I mean, this is kind of what should have been expected from him this season. He admitted that he had a tough transition from the Turkish league to the NBA. And there's been some games where it's clear that he kind of needs to bulk up a little bit. I like that he got a technical foul last night. because whatever he did or said must have been very subtle. And I think it's something that we caught him saying in practice that we can repeat on this, which I love that. If that's what it was.
Yeah, Şengün is a big time trash talk. I was about to say something else. Yeah. He's a big time trash talker, a lot more than people probably realized when he first came out of the Turkish league. Because a lot of times, I mean, I remember Yao when he came into the league, and everybody made a big point that he's not a trash talker. He's used to, you know, playing a certain way and not being in players' face. And then you saw eventually over time where that changed. Şengün just came in the league. He's just straight up he'll block somebody's shot. He'll talk trash to him. He'll flex his muscles after a layup. He'll hold up his hand after hitting a three. You know, he talks probably more trash than anybody on the Rockets team, which, hey, I'm all for, especially being a rookie and being that confident. But there's another thing I wanted to bring up before we get out of the first segment, something that kind of popped in my head when you said Utah. What do you think the Rockets starting lineup should be for the rest of this year? Because, and the reason why I bring that up is because it seems like every single team makes a point of putting their center on Jayson Tate and just having their center just camp out in the lane because they don't think that Jayson Tate can consistently beat them from the 3-point range. And we do know KJ is a better shooter than Jayson Tate, but Jayson Tate has a lot of the intangibles that maybe KJ Martin doesn't have. But do you think KJ Martin, or at least they should start to maybe lean into more starting KJ Martin to end the season just to see if that's a better fit for the starting lineup?
Well, I mean, I definitely want to see KJ getting more playing time.
Yeah.
It's been a mystery, really, with Silas these first 2 years of KJ just not getting consistent playing time. And I don't really understand it. But in my opinion, if you know, from a spacing standpoint, also if you're gonna start Şengün and Wood, you're better off. Like that only works if you have shooting to create the spacing, which obviously you know Tate's not. I mean, he's just not a reliable 3-point shooter. To me, if you're gonna start those two, then your best bet is having Garrison Matthews start at the three because he is a shooter. You know, and he's had some you know ups and downs this season, but to me, no doubt about that. But I mean, if you're gonna play both Wood and Şengün, you've got to think about obviously Matthews or KJ, because as you mentioned, there are some challenges there
with Tate and some spacing issues.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you got to start giving these guys some playing time, and we're going to talk about that in the second segment. But for instance, and I know there's a lot of Silas haters that are probably going to start liking me a little bit more because I'm starting to bring this up more. But it is becoming a little bit more evident. Like, for instance, last night, Eric Gordon played 30 minutes. I'm not understanding exactly why. I mean, he had a decent game. Don't get me wrong. He was 4-7 from the field, 3-5 from three, a lot better than he had been. But Eric Gordon played 30 minutes. You had Garrison Matthews, who, man, his shooting has just fallen off a cliff these last several games. He was 1-5 last night, 0-4 from three. And yet still played 29 minutes last game. I'm having a hard time understanding why Garrison Matthews is playing 29 minutes. And then you only have KJ Martin playing 19 minutes. And yeah, Josh Christopher has struggled. I mean, let me get that out there first. He's struggled lately, but he still only played 18 minutes last game. And you bring in Deshaun Nix and Trevlin Queen, and they both only played 2 minutes. But again, and I know they may say, well, they haven't practiced with the team, but I mean, let's be honest, like the Rockets offense isn't exactly that complicated. And they're not playing the best defense, so I don't know exactly how much they can really hurt this defense. So you only play them 2 minutes each and both in garbage time. So I'm not exactly understanding what they're trying to do with these rotations and what they're trying to do these last 20 games. But I definitely want to talk more about that with you in this second segment because I'm having a hard time understanding what they're trying to do. I understand the beginning of the year because, I mean, you're trying to see what you have as far as before the trade deadline, but the trade deadline is come and gone. Buyout time is come and gone. This is the team you're going to have last 20 games. So to me, you have to figure out, okay, I need to be playing this young guy more than this guy. So again, I don't know what you thought about last night game in particular, why Garrison Matthews is playing 29 minutes when he was just horrible last night. And he's not exactly a lead defender. So I don't know. Maybe you know why they're still playing Garrison Matthews all this minutes. So I'll let you get that out real quickly before we wrap up this first segment. Do you understand what their rotation was specifically last night?
No, I wish I did. I don't understand it. I don't understand why KJ is not getting more burn, not getting more playing time. Especially, I mean, KJ's been actually playing well.
Yeah.
Recently. Well, really all this season, but especially recently. So, I mean, you know, the Rockets were down 20 pretty early in the third quarter. So at that point, I mean, you're not about to come back, you know. So it doesn't make sense why even if your game plan going into that was, you know, we're going to, you know, give Garrison, you know, a lot of playing time. You know, there's nothing wrong with deciding, hey, where we are at in the game, it makes sense for me to feature KJ more or let KJ get some playing time. Like, you can scrap that on the fly or simply just put him in the game. Like, it doesn't take much strategy to make that change when you're already down big.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of my point. Like, how much worse can they be? I mean, your rotations on defense are horrible. I mean, you're kind of stagnant on offense. So, playing Deshaun Nix, like, that's not – I can see if you're, like, some well-oiled machine or you're winning games when you're like, okay, I don't want to just bring these guys in and have them just playing. But if you were playing that well, they wouldn't be playing on – you wouldn't have brought them up anyway. I think the whole point would be to play them. But, again, we'll get into that in the second segment. So I'm going to wrap up this first segment. Like I said, in the second segment, we're going to talk about what we want to see in these final 20 games and, you know, the players that we want to see on the court and the players that should be getting less time so that these players can get on the court. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And welcome back to Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. And the second segment, myself and AD will be talking about what we want to see in these final 20 games. Because let's just be honest, the Rockets probably aren't going to win too many of these games. Just looking at the schedule, they have a really difficult schedule. I mean, every game is difficult for the Rockets when you're the worst team in the league. But I don't see them winning more than two or three games these last 20 games, if we're being honest. And one of those games, if that, and one of those games is going to be against probably against the Lakers, where that game they'll probably get right and LeBron will probably have a triple-double and Westbrook will score 30 points or some just crazy, ridiculous thing they haven't been doing all year. So I wouldn't be shocked that the Rockets don't win more than two or three games. So honestly, at this point, it's all about development. And these final 20 games, the Rockets need to figure out exactly what they want to do, because what we were talking about in the first segment, where players like Eric Gordon and Garrison Matthews are still getting 30 minutes a game, it's just – I don't know. It's absurd to me. Like, why are we still giving these guys 30 minutes, especially when they're having bad games? Like, Matthews has had probably the last 8 or 9 games. I can't remember a game where he actually was shooting well. And he's not really going to be giving you too much on the defensive end. So there's no reason Josh Christopher should be only playing 10 or 15 minutes and KJ only playing 19 minutes. And even Şengün, I mean, at this point, I think his conditioning should be good enough to where he should be playing 25, 30 minutes a game. So what's your opinion on that? And what do you want to see in these final 30 games? And I'm sorry, final 20 games. And who exactly shouldn't be getting the minutes so that these players can get in the game?
Then this last stretch of games, man, what I want to see is I would like them to feature and give more of a significant role to Deshaun Nix.
Yes.
And part of the reason why is because he is a pure point guard, which that doesn't really exist much these days anymore, to be honest, across the league. There's not many traditional point guards. But Deshaun Nix is that. And what was the point of giving him a traditional NBA, a legit NBA contract, if you're not, you know, if you're going to only give him 2 minutes in garbage time of a 20-point loss? Yes. You know, it's important because I don't think that next season – KPJ will be the primary facilitator. Maybe they have him still listed in the point guard position in the lineup rotation because it's positionless basketball. Him being listed at the point guard doesn't mean that he will be creating. I think they have to figure out, do we have this in Knicks? And if not, you know, need to know that sooner or later, because we need to go find us a traditional playmaker or someone who can do that. Like, you know, to be honest, I have been amazed at what I've seen from Schroeder, because I didn't think that this Dennis Schroeder at this stage of his career is still a pass first guy. But you can see the difference of him being out there. He's looking for Jaylen. You know, he's getting 8-9 assists pretty easily, you know, and the players are having fun, you know, when the ball's moving like that. You've got to figure out, is that Knicks? And if it's not, that's fine. But yeah. To me, you can't go into next season not knowing. You just simply can't not know what you have in Knicks. I also want to, you know, I want to continue to see Jaylen, you know, doing what he has been doing, kind of diversifying his offensive repertoire as a scorer. What I really like, though, is him channeling that athleticism on the defensive end. That chase down block on D House was amazing. I'm hoping that, you know, we'll see a little bit more of that, because he actually has been playing a lot better on the defensive end for the better part of this recent stretch. I want to continue to see that too. KPJ, I want to see, can the guy stay healthy? because he really hasn't been. But when he's been out there, his 3-point shot has been incredible. I have been amazed at, I mean, I remember last year saying if this kid can just get a consistent 3-point shot, it's going to be trouble. And this season, it's literally turned a switch. Like, he was shooting like 38%. And last year, he was, I want to say, in like 31% range. Might even have been lower than that. But so, you know, Christian Wood, what I want to see from him is a little bit, I'll just say a little bit. That's asking for a lot. A little bit more awareness on the defensive end, because the guy gets lost out there on those switches, or just in general, not even switching. He just gets lost defensively. Like to see him kind of focus, hone in a little bit more. I like what I saw from Trevlin Queen last night, although he only got in, you know, game was already decided.
Yeah, but 2 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, you know, same as they did with Knicks. So I'm hoping to see him get a little bit more playing time, because – I wasn't really too impressed with him last season. And I know it was tough because Rockets were forced to just sign guys and throw them in there like the day of the next day. But I like what I've seen from him
even in the G League this season, Trevlin Quinn has actually been pretty, you know, pretty impressive to watch. So hopefully they called up him and Nix for the purpose of giving them playing time. But and if that's the case, then again, these last 20 games are meaningless. This is the time to, you know, to feature them, give them some, you know, some more share of minutes.
And that's the thing. You have Nix, who, like you said, is a pure point guard. I've watched him a lot in the G League, him and Trevlin Quinn. And Nix is a pass-first type guy, and he can definitely bring something and add something to the Rockets that they don't have. I mean, I know they have Schroeder, but let's be honest, Schroeder is not a long-term solution for the Rockets. I'll be shocked. Honestly, I won't say I'll be shocked because the Rockets have done some stuff to where I'll be like, why are we doing this? But it would be a mistake to bring him back next year, not because he's not a good player, but because you have so many other players you need to give minutes to. So why in the world would you bring back Schroeder in when you're still not at the point where you're a contending team? Now, Schroeder on the Rockets 3 years ago, oh, man, he would have been perfect backup to James Harden. I mean, absolutely perfect. But on this current team, I mean, I know some people may say, well, he can help Jalen Green. But as we see, Jalen Green at this point doesn't really need anybody helping him. He seems to be more assertive on his own. So you need to see what you have in Nix. And I know it's a G League, but Nix seems to control the offense. He seems to know exactly where he want to go with the ball. And he absolutely can get in the paint and score against anybody in the paint. Because, I mean, he's 6'4", like 220 pounds or something crazy like that, to where people just bounce off of him. So he absolutely definitely has an NBA body. So you definitely want to get him in NBA games so that he can show exactly what he can do. And even with Trevlin Quinn, I know a lot of people haven't talked about Quinn, but Quinn is like instant offense. I think his biggest issue has always been inconsistency. But in the last 10 or 15 games in the G League, he's probably been like the best, one of the best scorers in the G League. I mean, he's 6'6". He's like over 200 pounds. He's another guy that can score from pretty much anywhere on the court. So, yeah, they need to give these guys minutes. You need to cut down on Garrison Matthews' minutes. You need to cut down on Eric Gordon minutes. Like, at this point, what else does Eric Gordon need to prove on the court or even really need to play? I mean, I know they like his leadership and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at this point, you've lost another 11, 12 games in a row. You have the worst record in the league. I mean, how much more benefit is his leadership really going to give you at this point in season where you only have 20 games left? You need to get these other players on the court. And like you said, to see exactly what they bring, because you're going to have a lot of decisions coming up. You have two more draft picks you're bringing in next year, along with the four draft picks that you have this year. I mean, we ain't even talked about Uzma Garuba, who's been hurt all year, but I assume you're going to want to have to, you want to see him on the court. Maybe at the end of this year and going into next year. So they're going to have to make some trades. They're going to have to make some tough decisions. Players like Dennis Schroeder is probably not going to be back next year. They're going to probably try to move Eric Gordon again during the offseason. They might have a couple other players. They're probably going to try to move on for Christian Wood, because if you're drafting Chet Holmgren, it's not going to be a lot of room for Christian Wood. You're not going to want to continue to bring Alperen. Well, I would hope you're not going to try to continue to bring Alperen Şengün off
never
the bench.
Never know with Silas, man. You never know with Silas.
And I have defended Silas all year, and I still think that Silas can be a good coach. I still think he can be the right coach for this team. But I'm not going to lie. Some of these rotations and what they're doing is kind of head-scratching. And I don't know. I can't imagine at this point it's a directive from Rafael Stone to say, hey, you have to play Eric Gordon 30 minutes a game, because we're trying to trade him next year. Like, I don't know. I don't know what reason that you have behind. Because if I got to watch Eric Gordon run the point guard one more time, I might just not watch another Rockets game this year. And I actually cover the team. So at this point, you got to cut Eric Gordon minutes down to or you can't see me doing this because we're just recording the audio. But you have to come up with an injury for Eric Gordon at this point, to where he has a strained hamstring or he has a strained toe. I don't care what you got to do, but you need to get these players on the court and give them more minutes, because you got to see what they're going to do. So let me ask you, before we wrap up the second segment, do you have confidence in what the Rockets are? Do you have confidence in the front office and the current Rockets coaching staff that they can get it right, and that they will have the right rotations going into next year?
Front office, yeah. I do have confidence in the front office, mainly because of they've stockpiled quite a bit of, you know, assets. I don't really think there have been too many bad moves. Or, you know, or I'll just say there haven't really been many moves I did not understand.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. Whether it's good or bad, very kind of depending on, you know, how you look at it. But they really haven't had any moves that I didn't understand. Coaching staff is a little bit different. There's a lot that I don't understand about Silas's rotations, kind of like we've been discussing. Decisions early in the year, it seemed like he wouldn't play Jalen like in the fourth quarter of blowouts. Didn't make a lot of sense. I don't know about, you know, I am not the guy who is the instant, you know, take guy that I see on Rockets Twitter all the time. But I've really kind of been questioning whether Silas is the guy long term. Actually, I don't think he is the guy long term. But the question you asked is, do I have confidence that they'll get it right? You just say this offseason or the rest of this season?
I'm be honest. Rest of this season, I think it's a lost cause. I'll be actually more surprised if they do. But let's just say going into the offseason, being able to evaluate the players, because that was a comment that Coach Silas made about you can't really get players to develop during a year. It's more an offseason type thing. Yeah. Exactly. So do you think that seeing what they are going to see in this offseason, I would expect that Deshaun Nix is going to be part of the offseason plans and is going to play summer league and all that other stuff. Do you think that they will get it right going into next season and we will see Deshaun Nix in the rotation and we'll see Aperin Şengün playing 25, 30 minutes a game, regardless of whether Christian Wood is here or not?
Sadly, I think my answer is no. and the reason why, because so I think back to last year with KJ Martin. KJ Martin was a rookie. The Rockets didn't know what they had. He was really kind of a project because he didn't play in college. You know, he was at IMG, which is basically someone who's going to be a project, you would think.
Yeah.
And he flashed instant talent. He closed the season out shooting like 40% from three. He was a rim protector. He used to athleticism to block bigs. And we were like, okay, you know, the full off season, you know, Thais now knows what he has. You know, just get a full off season with KJ, and then next year it's going to be on. And then this season, it's the same thing. So he's like, he's saying that, oh, well, you know, I don't like to get that. You know, I don't want to make, you know, too much drastic changes or experiment during the season. I prefer, you know, in the off season, and that's fine. But we literally just saw this last year. And, I mean, this year, KJ is playing like, I mean, what like, I'm not even sure how much minutes he's playing this season.
It's probably under 15 minutes a game, honestly. I'll look it up right quick, but I'm sure
it looks like he's playing 20 minutes a game,
really,
and which is actually less than last year. last year he averaged 24 minutes a game. So, you know, the whole idea that he's, you know, and maybe it's, you know, I get it, KJ, second round pick, you know, whatever they got from him was really a bonus, a little bit different than, you know, what spending a first round pick on a Şengün. But again, it, you know, if we're talking about Queen and Nix, I mean, they're probably in the same mold. You know, from a strategy standpoint of a KJ, like whatever you get from them is a bonus. You know, you didn't really invest much in, you know, getting those guys. So I don't really have much confidence. Needless to say, next season that Silas will, you know, give them enough shine, enough burn. Because again, we literally have proof of this right now with KJ.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I've been a Silas defender since he's been here.
Yeah,
and just like you, I'm not one that's going to jump off the cliff after every single game, every single thing. But they definitely got to face this rotation, and it will go a long way if they do this by the end of the year. But we are now 60-some games into it, and I don't know, a handful of games after the All-Star break, and we still haven't seen much of a change. So I don't have a lot of confidence into this year, but I will say that will be Silas's downfall if they don't get this fixed next year. If they don't learn how to get, you know, the younger players in the rotation and they come out and they have – either way, if they're still the worst team next year, I mean, I hate to say it, but Coach Shaw, they're going to end up firing him. There's just no way he can survive another year of them being the worst. I don't care if whoever they get in the draft, I don't care, God forbid, if somebody gets hurt and they're out for the entire year. I don't think this coaching staff can survive another year of them having a worse record. they don't have to be a top eight team, or heck, I don't know if they even have to be a top 9 or 10 team, but they at least have to be competitive. They have to be in the race. They can't be 15-48 again next year. There's no way he's making it through another year of them being that bad. So you have to see some type of progress. But before I wrap it up, I will give him credit for this. We have seen a better Jalen Green. So you can't say that Jalen Green is doing this all on his own, but then when he's doing bad, it's Coach Silas' fault. You can't have it both ways. So I will say that Jalen Green has looked better. You have to give Coach Silas and coaching staff credit for that. KPJ has looked better, especially recently. You have to give him credit for that. Other than that, they got to figure out the rotation. That's the biggest thing for them. They have to figure out a way to get these younger players more minutes. And we will see if that plays out in these final 20 games, because I have a feeling that eventually they're going to have to shut down players like Eric Gordon. And then they're going to have to figure out a way to get these guys in here. So we will see how all that plays out. In the final segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about the entire NBA, because as we know, the Rockets won't be part of the playoffs, but the playoffs will still go on regardless. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And welcome back to Launchpad Podcast, written by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, give us a 5-star review and leave us a positive review if you can. We would definitely appreciate it. And this final segment, AD and myself will be talking a little bit more general NBA stuff, because there's a lot of good basketball going on, especially in the Eastern Conference. So why don't we kick it off there? What's been your opinion lately on the Eastern Conference, especially with James Harden going to Philly and them not, you know, looking even better than they did before, which actually was a pretty good team even before Harden got there. But now it seemed like once Harden got there, Tyrese Maxey has been unleashed and has become a really good player at this point. The way he's playing, he's up there for possibly being contender for player of the week, up there with James Harden. So what's been your opinion on the Eastern Conference? Of course, you still got Milwaukee. You still got the Miami Heat. We still have no idea what the Brooklyn Nets are going to be, because they just lost again the other night to a Miami Heat team that didn't have Lowry, didn't have Butler. I don't even think they had Hero. And even though KD came back and had a good game, they still lost, which every loss is great for the Rockets. I know Rockets and Rockets fans have no problem with Brooklyn losing the rest of their games.
Now that Harden is gone.
Which is a whole nother show on Harden stands versus Rockets fans. But what's been your opinion on the East, and what do you kind of see playing out for the rest of this regular season, and how do you kind of see the standings playing out?
Man, it's wide open, which is fun. A lot different than what we spent the first couple of segments talking about.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, the Bulls are – I mean, they're a good team, but they can't seem to beat good teams. For as great as DeRozan has been, I don't think he's getting enough MVP consideration. I don't know that he'll win it or that he should, but I think he should be at least discussed more in that MVP race. But as great as he's been, when they play against good teams, man, the Bulls just seem zapped. I don't know what their issue is. The Bulls and the Bucks have the same record right now, which is crazy. And they're both only a game back from Philly for the second seed.
Yeah.
The Celtics have been rising too. I mean, they started the season out in the dumpsters. And their coach Ime Udoka was like, after every game, we suck tonight. This isn't good enough. We don't play hard. We're playing selfish. And then all of a sudden, they go on a run. They've been one of the best teams of the calendar year, which is crazy considering where they started out at. They're only a game and a half back of Milwaukee and Chicago. So I mean, my money still is on Milwaukee. Coming out of the East, just because, you know, they had some COVID issues earlier in the year, injury issues as well. But now they've got the guys back, you know, Middleton, Giannis, Holiday. So I expect them to probably come out of the East, at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, between Miami and Philly, I mean, Miami's you know, as you know, Miami has had some injuries and they still are winning games with their key guys out. You know, that's kind of scary. Now the Philadelphia thing, they have a chance. I mean, their stock is definitely up since the Harden trade. I know everybody thinks I hate Harden.
really?
No. I'll say something good. I'll say something good, I guess. But that pick and pop between him and Embiid is unstoppable. Maxey has been going off. He's benefited a lot from Harden being there. I don't think they're going to be able to hide Tobias Harris in the playoffs, and how far they get will really, to me, would depend on what they get from Tobias Harris. Which, if I was a, you know, a Philly fan, I don't know that I'd be too encouraged by that. But you know, the trio of Harden, Maxey, and Embiid has been something so far. I mean, they've got 20 games each. In each of their first four games, I saw, which was like the first time in like 16 years since the old school Wizards of like Caron Butler, Arenas, and I think it was Anton Jameson or something like that in 06. The West is a little bit different. I don't think the West is as open as the East is. I still think the West is obviously, you know, Phoenix, Golden State, although Golden State, you know, I don't know if you ask me today if I think they're better than Phoenix. Memphis, also can't forget Memphis either.
Yeah.
They're a young team. I just don't know if I think that they could get past Phoenix or Golden State. But what about you, man? I spent a lot of time rambling.
No, you're good, because the way I look at the Western Conference, it's Phoenix and Golden State. Memphis, I think, is 1 year away. I think that they'll get to the second round this year. Because right now they're in the third seed, so they'll be playing the Nuggets in the first round. And I mean, there's a possibility that Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray can make it back for the playoffs. But even still, I still would pick Memphis in a series, because you don't know what you're going to get from those two players. As great as Jokic is, I still don't think that you can pick them over a Ja Morant, a Jared Jackson. And I still think that Memphis will beat them. And I think they would probably, you know, they would get to the second round, but I still think they're a year away from getting, you know, past that second round status. But yeah, I think it's definitely still Phoenix and Golden State. And Golden State has been struggling lately. They've lost three in a row. They haven't really looked good for a while. And if they're depending on Draymond Green and James, well, I don't know when James Wiseman is supposed to come back. But if they're dependent on them to all of a sudden turn around the ship, that's not going to happen. Draymond Green is a good all-around player, but he's not the Draymond Green from 2-3 years ago. Honestly, it's Phoenix's conference to lose. I mean, I know Chris Paul is out right now, but he should be back for the playoffs. I know Devin Booker's out right now, but he'll be back here pretty soon. So, yeah, the West is, man, it's weird seeing it this way. I mean, the number 10 seed is 27-36. So, and it's kind of funny, the Lakers are 27-35. They actually have a chance. Honestly, I cannot wait to watch the Lakers play in a play-in game. I mean, you talk about some drama. If they get knocked out in the play-in game, I think Twitter will probably melt down if the Lakers don't get out of the play-in game. I mean, that's kind of just crazy to even look at. But looking at the East, like you said, I mean, it's wide open. I mean, anybody from 1 through 4 could possibly win. And even if you throw in the Celtics, I don't know how long Jaylen Brown's going to be out, but they, like you said, they've been playing better. I don't think Cleveland, it's a good story, but I don't see them really making noise, or the Raptors. And then you get down to the Nets, who actually only a half game in front of the Hawks and only one game in front of the Hornets. So the Nets could be just like the Lakers. They could be out of the playoffs after the play-in game, where most people pick the Lakers and the Nets to start the season. It's kind of crazy to think. Yeah. Like I said, Rockets fans are absolutely happy if the Nets don't even make the playoffs. That's even better.
Now.
If they get in the – yes, now. Because we had the Harden stans who were like, some reason their Harden allegiance went past their Rockets allegiance, which is fine, whatever. I would never understand it. I'm a Rockets fan first and foremost. Once you leave the Rockets, hey, I'm not openly rooting against you, but I'm not exactly going to be watching TVs and cheering for you either. So, but like I said, that's a whole nother story. But if the Nets get knocked out, we all know the Rockets get that pick. So that's going to be real interesting. I mean, the playing game is probably going to be more interesting than the first round if you look at it, because I don't really see too many first round upsets happening. So I actually can't wait for the playoffs, because I'm not going to lie, this has been a long year, been a long 2 years watching the Rockets play. And we've talked about this before the show, coming up with content every day when you're watching a team that's 15-48 isn't exactly the easiest thing in the world to do. So I'm actually looking forward to being able to take a break, watch some good basketball, especially these playing games, and watch the Nets and the Lakers have to fight for their lives. I mean, that's just awesome to watch. So that's going to be must-see TV coming up. But like you said, it's Phoenix and Golden State in the West. And I think at the end of the day, it's still going to be, to me, the 76ers and the Bucks, because I think people are still sleeping on Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks is one team that didn't really have to make many changes. They still basically have the same team. And to me, Giannis is still the best player in the league. And I know, again, if you're
You can't say that.
I mean, I know. Again, Harden stands probably don't – if it's any Harden stands that really even pay attention to the Rockets anymore. But if they do, and they listen to this podcast, I know they don't want to hear it, but Giannis is probably still the best overall player in the league. So – at the end of the day, I'm still picking the 76ers and the Bucks to be the teams to beat. I know the Heat, but it's just something about the Heat that I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I don't trust Tyler Hero, the great Tyler Hero. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's just – I don't know if Kyle Lowry still has enough to push him over the edge. I don't know. It's just something about the Heat team that I just don't necessarily trust. So I still pick those two teams.
Well, it could be because, you know, they had a major disappointment during last year's playoffs. Yeah. Major disappointment during last year's playoffs. So that could be. Now, them adding P.J. Tucker and Kyle Lowry, you know, I mean, that should obviously make a difference. But a lot of it depends on the first round matchup. Now, if they're playing against Brooklyn first round, which, man.
It's a possibility. And who the heck knows what you're getting from freaking Ben Simmons. Nobody has any clue what they're going to get from him. But even if you factor in just Kevin Durant and Seth Curry, and I mean, I know people have forgotten about Andre Drummond, but Andre Drummond can still give you a double-double, and he can still give Bam Adebayo some trouble in the playoffs. So that's not exactly the first-round matchup that you want to see. So I know Miami Heat and their fans will be cheering for either Brooklyn to get out of that AC or to just get knocked out of the playoffs altogether. But like you said, it's still pretty close. 76ers can easily end up with a number one seed, and wouldn't that be something? You have
and the thing about Drummond is that he was playing so well for Philly that they decided that they need to replace him with DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm like, DeAndre Jordan getting signed is just like a pin dropping in the forest. Like, nobody paying attention to that. You wouldn't even notice.
The man is a walking Shaqton a fool nominee.
Yeah, he's taking over for JaVale McGee, who's actually become a good player, which is kind of crazy. But can you imagine? I know Adam Silver and the NBA offices and all the TV stations are absolutely going crazy, hoping that they can get a Brooklyn 76ers first round matchup. I mean, can you ask for like more drama than that? I mean, that would be insane on so many levels. I mean, I'm actually hoping for that myself, even though I want Brooklyn not to even make the playoffs. But if they do, that's the matchup I actually want to see. But before we wrap up the show, again, why don't you let everybody know where they can, you know, find you on Twitter and, you know, find your content.
You can find me on Twitter at @A_Duckett. Find me on Instagram at @AnthoDuckett. Actually, I'm on there now. You can find all my content on Apollo. So check us out. Check me out.
And again, of course, I always appreciate you coming on. I'm actually going to one day go back and count how many episodes we have done together, because it gotta be approaching 100 at this point. So I'm actually going to have that number before we do our next one. But
it might take a while to count.
That is true. So, of course, again, I always appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, so again, that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you've already done so, make sure you subscribe to the show. Definitely check us out, and make sure you subscribe to the main account, the main Launchpad account on Twitter. We try to do, you know, some live tweeting from the game. You can always find all our podcasts on there as well. And definitely make sure you check out the other guys. They actually have their show twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so make sure you check them out. And as always, we appreciate you jumping on. We know it's been a hard, long season. So hopefully the draft makes it a little bit better. And hopefully by this time next year, we're actually talking about the Rockies possibly competing for a play-in spot. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. For now, we'll take a top three draft pick so that we can actually get excited again like we were last year. So make sure you check us out for the rest of this year and going into draft season. We always appreciate you jumping on the Launchpad Podcast, where we're covering your Houston Rockets.